This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 8th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have an interview with the next director of the American Indian Studies Program at the University of Illinois. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 forecaster Mike Sola, first to look at today's news. Donors big and small are getting the sales pitch today from one of the larger summer events in central Illinois. Last week, coordinators said this summer's Decatur celebration could be the last if it can't resolve a projected $80,000 deficit. Producer Fred Puglia says the celebration gets money from vendors, parking, sponsorships, and other sources, even though people can see the event's musical performances for free. But Puglia says that revenue hasn't met expenses for several years, and it's time to lean on the community.
All we have to do is maybe call on 10 more or 20 more sponsors. Maybe we have to work a little harder trying to get membership. Maybe we have to go and visit some of our corporate giants and say, hey, would you increase your sponsorships?
Puglia laid to rest rumors that the Decatur celebration would put up a security fence and charge admission. He says some small donations are starting to come in, but he thinks the event creates too much for the outside economy and contributes too much to the area's quality of life for people to neglect. The University of Illinois is changing course in how it goes about redeveloping Orchard Downs. Two developers had submitted plans to replace the family student housing complex with a new development mixing family student housing with single housing and retirement housing for seniors. But Chancellor Richard Herman says he no longer thinks choosing a single developer for the project is the best course. Instead, he wants to develop a master plan for Orchard Downs and then hire more specialized developers for each component. Kathleen Holden, who chairs the Chancellor's Orchard Downs Advisory Committee, says despite the change, Herman remains committed to the concepts in place for redeveloping Orchard Downs.
It's truly going to be, if the vision is realized, this will not be an ordinary development. This is going to be a national model, intergenerational, multicultural, living, learning, a destination community that's worthy of this institution.
But the change in process will delay groundbreaking at Orchard Downs by another year. Holden says they now expect construction to begin there at 2011. In the meantime, she says the university will be working with the community to put together that master plan. People in expanding areas of Urbana can expect a knock on their door soon as part of the city's special census. Enumerators will be out for the next 2 to 6 weeks visiting the North Lincoln Avenue corridor, Landis Farms, and newer neighborhoods to the southeast. Based on construction permits and the growth of existing subdivisions, the city estimates about 2,400 people have moved to Urbana since 2000. Executive Assistant Elizabeth Davis says that growth could net the city nearly $300,000 additional dollars in state funding for roads, schools, libraries, and other programs. She says questions will be limited to simple data like name, age, race, and whether the home is owned or rented.
The enumerators will not ask anyone for financial information. They won't be asking for a social security number. So if anyone comes to their door and asks for information like that, they are not from the Census Bureau. Don't give it to them. And we also want to make sure that people understand the information collected will not be forwarded to any other agencies.
Enumerators will also be identified by red, white, and blue badges. The workers will make several attempts to visit the expanding areas. If residents can't be reached, neighbors will be allowed to provide the information on what's known as a proxy survey. Anybody with questions about the census process can visit Urbana's website. Making it easier to get around Urbana by bicycle is one of the goals of the city's comprehensive plan. Now the city has plans for reaching that goal, one that would expand Urbana's limited bike routes and paths to a comprehensive network covering the entire city. Last night, the Urbana City Council approved the Bicycle Master Plan. Public Works Director Bill Gray says it's a plan the city will be able to implement. And while the total cost could run around $15 million over several years, Gray says they can keep the actual cost to the city much lower.
Yes, there's some costs identified, but I think we've been very successful in the past with grants. We're very aggressive about finding grant monies to do projects, and we'll continue to do so. And there's a pretty good roadmap as to what we'll do the next 5, 10, 15 years.
The plan lays out specific routes in Urbana where bicycle traffic is encouraged. Off-street bike paths would be built along major streets like Cunningham, High Cross, and Florida. on-street bike lanes would be marked on narrower streets like Race or Broadway in the downtown area, and other streets would be marked with signs as open to bicycle traffic. City officials say the goal of the new bicycle master plan is to make Urbana more bike-friendly and increase the level of cycling in the city by 50%. Testimony of political fundraiser Tony Rezko's fraud trial revealed an embarrassing and detailed account of the drug use of the government's star witness. Attorney Stuart Levine is the political insider who claims that he and Rezko schemed to squeeze more than $7 million in kickbacks from companies seeking state business. In testimony yesterday, Levine said he gorged on drugs in his office, aboard chartered planes, and in all-night sessions with male companions in luxury hotels. The testimony marked Rezko's chief defense counsel's latest effort to wreck Levine's credibility in the eyes of the jury. Some Illinois lawmakers want to take a Robin Hood approach to get Illinois state government out of fiscal trouble. That includes raising the state's income tax, but only on the wealthiest residents. Democratic House member Mike Smith's proposal would double the tax rate for anyone earning more than $250,000 a year, including married couples who file jointly. Smith, who's from Canton, is already working on his sales pitch to colleagues.
Obviously, there are going to be some legislators that have more of those individuals in their district than others, but I think it's still going to be a minority of their constituents as well.
Smith estimates slightly more than 100,000 people would qualify for the higher tax rate. He says the state could bring in an additional $3 billion a year. Other plans introduced at the Capitol offer a variety of ways to implement a graduated income tax. The state currently has a flat income tax. Smith's plan calls for voters to approve the change in statewide referendum. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The next director of American Indian Studies at the University of Illinois says the debate over Chief Illiniwek severely hampered the program in the past. Robert Warrior is currently a professor of English at the University of Oklahoma, and he says the retirement of the symbol brings a unique opportunity when he takes over the American Indian Studies program this fall. He told AM 580's Jeff Bossier that the change at the U of I led to him accepting the job.
Everything was about the chief, and this was the only thing that people wanted to talk about, and to the point really where I felt interrupted by at every stage of trying to talk about other sorts of things, which is always ironic to me, because people will say, why are you complaining? Why are we having this controversy over mascots? Shouldn't you be talking about other issues, about economic development, about providing better social services to American Indian communities? And that's what I was trying to do when I spoke in, when I spoke on campus back in 1992, and yet I couldn't do it because people only wanted to have this very polarizing discussion. So to be on campus 15 years later, and my interview happened, in fact, the weekend that the Board of Trustees came to their final vote, and saying that they embraced this decision, was certainly a big change. Having said that, this is not something that's over. I taught previously at Stanford, which in the early 1970s did away with its Native-themed mascot. I taught there in the 1990s, and that issue was still very much around. It's just the important thing to me in deciding to come to Illinois was that the university was now on what I believe to be the right side of this issue. I think that allows a program like American Indian Studies to do what it ought to be doing academically, intellectually, in a scholarly sense.
With this issue out of the way, what would you like to do in terms of allowing this department to thrive and expand its environment?
Well, one thing I just remembered recently was that U of I has been participating for the past almost half decade in a consortium of American Indian programs throughout the Big Ten through the Committee on Institutional Cooperation that's based there in CU, that brings together faculty, students who do American Indian Studies across the Big Ten universities, also UIC and U of C. There are various conferences through the year that take place through that consortium, and Illinois has never been able to host one because of the chief. That the consortium made a decision, which was supported by people in American Indian Studies at Illinois, that as long as this issue remained on the table, it was not an appropriate place to hold a conference, essentially a boycott. Well, the boycott's over, and next spring we'll be hosting the main event. that's a real breath of fresh air. I think people are really energized and excited that as opposed to bringing people into speak and in an embattled environment, it's a different kind of thing. I see things like that happening with increasing frequency.
We don't have many Native Americans now in Illinois compared to where you live. Talk about leaving a state like Oklahoma in terms of its Native American history.
Well, of course, Illinois has a very long history a very long indigenous history, and there are plenty of people still around who consider Illinois to be, you know, part of their traditional homelands. But you're right that in terms of the current scene, there are relatively few Native people in the state. But, you know, there are people all over, and Chicago has always been a really important meeting ground, even back into the 18th and 19th centuries for Native people. But more importantly, in the 20th and 21st century, it's one of the centers of urban Native population in the country. I think one of the things I'd like to see is a much stronger bridge between the Chicago American Indian community and U of I, talking about tens of thousands of American Indian people in Chicago. But the thing I always say, whether it's talking to people on campuses or in, you know, local communities, I say that there are always more American Indian people around than you think, and there are American Indian people on campus who are staff people and students, you know, who are already on campus, who may or may not be part of the American Indian community on campus already, but who are there. And oftentimes what we're fighting, I think, is just the small numbers, and the numbers never become necessarily large enough to become significant in some people's eyes, and yet they're almost everywhere you go, there's some sense of community that is already there, or that can be, you know, that can be built.
AM 580's Jeff Bossert talked with University of Oklahoma English professor Robert Warrior. This fall, he'll become the next director of the American Indian Studies Program and the Native American House at the University of Illinois Urbana campus. Well, the weather could turn a bit heavy this afternoon. Our forecaster Mike Zola says it'll be cloudy today across the two-state area with scattered showers this morning, then showers and thunderstorms becoming more widespread this afternoon. Some of the storms could be strong to severe. Our highs today will range from 48 in northwest Illinois to 75 in the far south. In Champaign-Urbana, the high of around 65 degrees. Tonight, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms diminishing from west to east overnight. Lows ranging from 35 in northwest Illinois to 55 in far southern Indiana. In Champaign-Urbana, the low expected to be around 44 degrees. Tomorrow's high in Champaign-Urbana, 57. Partly to mostly sunny around here and in northern and central Illinois. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with a few lingering showers early and then clearing. Highs ranging from 52 in northwest Illinois to 66 in southern Indiana. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 8th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.